All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fitness Education Online Podcast. I'm your host, Jono, and I am super excited because we have an awesome guest this week. A little bit about this person. He's the founder at Time to Train, Australia's number one fun learning movement exercise program, using sports and activities combined with games to train clients all ages on the autism spectrum. He's been diagnosed with Asperger's himself as a child, and he's conquered the challenging symptoms and he leads a successful life. So without further ado, let me introduce from Melbourne, Victoria, the one and only Mr. Jeremy Sampson. Jeremy, how are you?
Good morning, Jono. Yes, it's a very cold morning here in Melbourne. I'm not sure. You're from Sydney, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty cold here as well.
Pretty cold as well. Yeah, it is a very cold winter this winter and stuff. But no, I'm still up and early and doing very well and keeping well. I've just been recovered from a 4-day sort of cold and flu, no COVID, but
I was going to ask.
Yeah, just finally bounced back.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, well, so keeping as fit as possible. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's get into it, Jeremy. We'll speak about Time to Train a little bit later. What I want to hear to start with is yourself. I think you've got quite a powerful story. If you want to share that for us.
Yes, well, look, it's a very familiar story, as I said, off air, and it all goes back to the the mid-90s, when there wasn't too much about autism, and the term Asperger's was definitely quite a popular key back then. So I was first diagnosed with ADD, which was then looked at and assessed, and Asperger's syndrome was more an accurate diagnosis. So back then it was probably one in 2,500 people that were really being sort of recognized or identified as having those symptoms and traits, which today is now known as autism spectrum disorder level 1. And there's level 2 and 3, which are a little bit more severe and a little bit more profound in their symptoms and traits. So I've always been an advocate for, you know, helping support people with Asperger's syndrome as a slightly separate sort of condition to autism, because I've always looked at, well, autism and Asperger's both almost go hand in hand, but those subtle differences can make a real big difference. And so we're looking at things from like, obsession and fixation to a strong interest, a deviation away from social communication with other people. And these sorts of things were really picked up when I was certainly that child, which, you know, I had everything from I wanted to spin tops and coins to you couldn't drag me away from doing a puzzle until it had to be done. And just these little quirky type behaviors, which sort of separated me from most of my peers, couldn't enjoy the full experience of eating certain foods and things. I was very hypersensitive to taste and touch. Again, these are all very strong features of also like autism as well. So, noise, I struggled to really cope with sound in certain places. And of course, other unusual things like trying to almost create faces in objects and certainly distorting my environment from something, you know, that should be a pleasant or just a general environment into something quite terrifying or negative, which would really have an awful impact on my anxiety and stress levels and things. A pleasant trip to my grandparents would be quite awful because, you know, I'd be going a different way as a child traveling in the backseat of the car. No, where are we going? I can't cope with the fact we're going left instead of right. You know, I had to always stick to familiar routines. So most of these kids that I see today are all still having their quirks and similar traits issues and things. And so it's easy for me to just connect with them because it's just like working with myself, Jono. And even in working with parents and families more closely, and have done for the last couple of years, really just to take the child's development to that next level, it's interesting to really see some of those traits as well in parents, even though they might be very subtle, as they've worked very hard to certainly go under the radar and be unrecognizable. But a lot of parents and mothers and fathers, they too also need the support when it comes to helping them with their anxieties and their little quirks or behaviors that may just be also triggering towards their child as well. So a lot of parental support I'm doing these days, as well as working with just the children.
Yeah, awesome. And dive a little bit more into your situation there, Jeremy. So you managed to, live a very successful life, right? What was it like? Let us know that kind of journey, that kind of like 6 to 18 kind of journey. You know, what was that like? What were the things you did to, help you?
Well, this is where I many years ago did, very humbly accept the title of I Conquered Asperger's. It was a national article with the Herald Sun and many other major newspapers around Australia and stuff. So that copped a lot of backlash, both negative, but certainly much more positive. But yes, it was just through the journey how I managed to really break through a lot of those difficult traits. And yeah, some of those periods were in my teen years. A lot of self-reflection, really like self-accepting, firstly, of the things that I could do over the things I am not ready to do. So I always looked at things from a glass half full, very optimistic, very positive, as well as there were just certain times or situations throughout life where it was like, I'm just not up to that. There are just, certain things that that we all just simply cannot do. We're just not built for. Doesn't matter how much training. So, but I was always someone quite determined. And I think the biggest motivator was obviously the difficulties with being bullied, teased, and singled out amongst my peers and things. So when you hear a lot of that negativity coming from others, it can either, make you or break you, I suppose. And for me, it was just how can I improve on myself in small to large ways that ultimately can really shape me to become a lot better within myself. As tempting as it was to try to prove to other people that I can do things quite easily or just the same as others, for me it was, coming back to that self. And, from something as small as, trying to jog or run, catching a ball, these were skills that I knew I was inconsistent with. But behind the scenes, my parents were really strong with, being in a routine, doing certain activities on the floor that were rocking and rolling and really, pushing my brain and stimulating me and, wearing me out. But, at the end of it all, it was ultimately making better connections within myself. And when you start to feel those changes through those connections, you do start to feel the reward of, wow, like that's a task, that's a skill, that's something that I can now actually accomplish. So it was almost like a real rehabilitation of the whole self. And that just led to more confidence. And once, as time goes by, you're on a winning cycle, I suppose. You just keep going and you just keep aiming for more challenges and tasks and things. So through my school years and those teenage years, the hardest journey, like I think with most people in their teen years, is discovering, navigating the emotions and the social world. That was always a big challenge for me. And at the top of my list of things that I really, if I can really master, if I can really learn to understand people, their emotions, their feelings, their thoughts, how to integrate, interact, I know that then that's going to be a huge factor to my success, because physical, that was something I was already accomplished quite early on. But the social and emotional, really, that was a real challenge for me. So it was all through life experiences that really helped enormously.
Gotcha. Well, tell us a little bit about the fitness industry now, Jeremy. So you became a personal trainer at what, 18, straight out of school kind of thing?
That's right. Yeah. So I think one of the motivators for me to actually help others, firstly, was to get into the health and fitness industry. I first started just as a PT, really was inspired to just see the differences in people's health because I knew what a difference it made for me. Certainly in sport, balance, coordination. So I was already, you know, swept up in the world of, you know, doing a lot of activities and things. And then PT was just for me like a really fun field where I was able to combine sport, gym, as well as outdoor exercise activity. But the most important thing for me was to make sure that it was always a really fun experience because, you know, I would see other PTs with their clients as I was observing in my early years and think, well, you know, I could see in some clients they were just getting a little bit sort of, uninterested and getting quite familiar with their routine and stuff. Even if it was working for them, I could see they were just starting to lose a bit of that motivation and interest. And so I thought, when I'm one day working with clients myself, I want to absolutely keep it really interesting and fun. And most importantly, like continually use the experience of working with clients as a PT to keep working on my social skills and really build a connection and a bond one-on-one, which is, you know, typically what a person with Asperger's sort of thrives and strives the most in is one-on-one situations.
Gotcha.
So I thought PT is fun, easy, it's enjoyable. I'm getting something for me out of it as well as giving back to the clients and to the community. And then later on, obviously wanted to further my studies and learn more about the brain and neuroscience, what a fascinating field, and taking up looking at different holistic modalities and fields to obviously integrate more on the side, just not just exercise and physical therapy, but other things from yoga, drama, music, sound, and all to help support the brain in connection with the nervous system and the body, which is just incredible.
Gotcha. Now, from there, I believe I was reading on your website, I believe you were working at the gym. I'm not sure if it was personal training or membership. And then there was a very specific situation. Some parents came in, they had a kid, and that kind of started the journey with Time to Train. Can you tell us a little bit? Firstly, let's share that experience with us, and then we'll get into Time to Train.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
It's a great story. And I'll never forget that. It was just truly, I was in the right place at the right time. And yes, I was just selling gym memberships, which ultimately, again, gave me great experience socializing, connecting with people, and obviously learning the art of how to sell. And so I was working just in the gym, and a family came through, and the parents were looking for a gym membership for their, at the time, 14-year-old son, which unfortunately they were just underage, weren't able to offer them that, but they were looking for someone to offer PT sessions for their son because he was diagnosed with Asperger's. And they were recommended by their psychologist or person at the time who uptake an exercise routine to help with a bit of weight loss and improve their motivation and confidence. Obviously, the lightning just went bang. Just the ideas came through. I spoke with that family privately. I said, I think I can help because I am qualified in that field. I can maybe do something there, but I also have Asperger's myself. So I have some lived experience and some stories that I can perhaps share. The family were very quick to just say, yes, we'll follow your direction, your lead, whatever you think could help. And before I knew it, I was starting, I guess, Time to Train, which I was 21, and at the time Channel 9 were looking for new entrepreneurial individuals with their business ideas to come forth and obviously showcase what they're doing on a television program that was all about trying to save, a little bit of extra money on the side during a global financial crisis, which we did have at the time. So I put in my application with a bit of help and support from mum at the time, and was given that opportunity and met Shane Crawford, the ex-Hawthorn legend. And that was fantastic, both on air, off air. He gave me some great advice and great tips with the direction of what I should do with time to train. But ultimately, it was a rewarding, community give back story there. And, taking that into the gyms and Fitness First at the time, very wonderful, still very supportive, of course. And we were able to obviously, film some clips of other kids doing activities and exercises where they were enjoying and obviously getting the benefits there. And that made for a wonderful segment on the show. So my computer crashed, Jono. I had emails coming all over across Australia. I thought, what have I done? What a good problem to have, but what do I do now? I've got so much on my plate here and I don't quite sort of half know what I'm doing yet still. I'm trying to work through all this.
Well, wait, let's go back a step there, Jeremy. Let me get my head around this a bit. So you trained the one kid that had Asperger's. Did you get on the show straight away or did you build a bit of a clientele base?
It was around the same time. Yeah. And I just thought, wow, this is extraordinary timing. What a coincidence that Channel 9 at that time were just creating a new show there and they were looking for people that had interesting, unique ideas. I thought, I'm a personal trainer. I have Asperger's, which is a different way of operating. And I'm helping others that also have the same condition, which there's not anything quite like that that's being promoted. So what have I got to lose? We'll see. And ultimately, they took that on board with great positivity because it was raising a great deal of awareness, which we just continuously need so much more of, even still today. It was a lot of fun, even though it was a very cold winter's morning that day when we were doing it.
Awesome. And then let us know a little bit about Time to Train now, Jeremy. So what's it like? Is it an online program? Is it a face-to-face program? Is it one location that you run? Do you go to different schools and gyms? What is Time to Train?
Okay, so real quickly, firstly, Time to Train, I came up with that name when I was actually doing my studies. The name was based on, well, if you were to call yourself something, what would it be? And I thought, well, I'll call myself something based on what a lot of people will just sort of say when they're about to go to the gym. Have you got time to train, mate? You've always got that time to train. Like I hear it all the time in the fitness world. And then as the years went on, I really took another angle and thought, well, this is actually like a philosophy. Like we operate on time every single day. So we really need to, make use of the time we spend. And, exercise and looking after ourselves is a big part of that. So we've got to really include time to do that. The number two represents one-on-one because a lot of people on the spectrum, particularly Asperger's, will operate best in a one-on-one. But even before that is working one-on-one with ourselves. So we should become two and learning about ourselves, both inside and out. So two, and then of course, train. Well, we only get better in life if we train for things, whether it's study, exercise, or learning a new skill for that job or whatever it is. We've got to keep training. I've got some today, they want to learn how to drive. Well, okay, we've got to take up some lessons for that and train for that. So we never stop learning. We never stop training. So you've always got time to train. And that's the ring because it's just ongoing. It just never stops. It always keeps turning that way. So it's really kicked off to be something of a life philosophy that everyone can just sort of take on board, where it doesn't matter what illness or injury or where you are in your life with your health or well-being. It's just, hey, you've got to look for something that you can train. You've always got that time to train. And so to these days, Jono, it's with our pandemic that we've gone through and stuff, I was very lucky that I was able to still operate as a life as an essential service, and was very lucky that I could still keep seeing clients in person. Unfortunately, with all the gyms and clinics that closed down, I had to very quickly think on my feet, right, what do I do? Do I try to keep going with online, which that was one option I did run with for a while, was to see clients online. And that had, you know, some effectiveness there. It was okay. But ultimately, you know, nothing beats the in-person experience. So I was very fortunate just to continually see clients outdoors. And then obviously, you know, with some families, with, you know, with their permission and things, be able to go into their homes and see them with following obviously the rules and the guidelines of the pandemic at the time. So these days, Jono, it's still very much that. It's operating through the home environment, which is wonderful, because I'm able to see so much of what goes on behind closed doors. Outdoors, if the weather is wonderful, because, you know, I think the outdoor environment is a great change of environment from the house, where a lot of kids that I do work with find themselves very much isolated and very comfortable and certainly fixed on the screens and the technology. But yes, look, sometimes I'm also, yeah, visiting schools, which I do a lot more now these days, because there are a lot of children that sadly are struggling to fit into the classroom environment, and teachers do lack the training and education. I've heard that quite a lot over the journey. So taking the program and educating teachers, even principals, whereby we're using the exercises that I do have online, and parents who do join the program get access to that. We take those exercises into the school and try to run them as obviously something that the whole classroom can do together as a group. And that's a great way, you know, or a great introduction to certainly help that one or two students might be on the spectrum to get them more connected with their class. Certainly if they're in a position to, you know, demonstrate, these are exercises I do with Jeremy when I do classes and sessions with him, and now I'm going to teach and show you as a class how to do them. And they love to show off and demonstrate what they're doing. And that gives them that, you know, that confidence. So it's wonderful to be able to take the program to the home and outdoor and in the schools, and just to showcase that, you know, wherever you are, you can do it. You can do a bit of time to train.
Love it. All right. Well, a couple follow-up questions on that, Jeremy. So you've mentioned these kind of exercises. Are there specific exercises that you implement, or is it just, you know, is it just any exercise works? What can you tell us about, I guess, the specific exercises that you use?
Yes. Yeah. So the ones that absolutely were really beneficial for me growing up as a child were mainly what's called vestibular or proprioceptive exercises. Now, that's a lot of that's a real big mouthful, but basically, essentially, these are exercises that are targeting a specific part and system that's connected from the inner ear to the brainstem, which is the base of our brain. And what we're doing is essentially giving that whole system a workout. We're really activating and trying to really connect a lot of the pathways, in simple terms, to try to get bit more activity and integration there. So that's why I went and furthered my studies there in neuroscience, look at the brain and how that operates, the different regions, and particularly what we call the second brain, which is the cerebellum. And that's to deal with balance and coordination. So doing a lot of these exercises when I was a child and not having any knowledge or understanding of why they just seem to be working, to really now understand the specifics and how it's all connected, makes such a difference in being able to really, you know, confidently, you know, educate families and parents that, you know, this routine, if we're just doing this for, you know, 5, 10, maybe even 15 minutes, if you've got that capacity, that just every day, it's really important for the child, you know, to implement that routine where they're doing those exercises, a lot of them forward rolls and rotational based exercises, really working the brain. They're not always fun. They certainly can make a child, it made me certainly feel a bit sick at times, but that just essentially means we're working the brain. It's actually being switched on and it's doing what it should be doing. It's a bit like throwing all your clothes into the washing machine and, you know, putting it on the appropriate cycle and stuff and giving those clothes a wash so they come out and they're smelling and they're ready to go after they're dried, of course. So, we do these exercises, and obviously, you know, rest on the weekends. We need to allow time for the, to rest and recover. But essentially, I have seen some incredible transformations just from a child sticking to this routine, Jono. It's not going to work fantastic for everybody. But if on average, if we're, certainly sticking to this routine every day, we can start to see some changes within about 4-6 weeks, sometimes 8. But really, it's just the longer that you do it, eventually, you know, it's going to gradually get easier. So where I'm seeing some children, they're uncoordinated, they really do start to pick up on the large and fine motor skills, and they do start to become more coordinated and confident. They're able to, regulate and manage more of their emotions. So we're not just seeing the physical benefits, we're starting to see a bit more of those emotional, social improvements as well. I work with some that they do struggle with specific learning disorders, writing and reading, calculating numbers. And what's wonderful is that with just doing these exercises and making things fun, it promotes learning. And I think the brain is a wonderful organ in the sense that it should never stop learning learning how to learn. And so once we, figure out how a child learns best, whether it's visual or it's auditory or it's hands-on, once we, tap into that understanding, and then we build a wonderful connection and routine. It's the best improvements come when a child just wants to continually learn how to master, which is very familiar of why my success is the way it has grown, because I always wanted to keep learning how to learn so I could keep improving and growing. And I think that's what every single person out there that wants to improve a bit more needs to tap into. It's just learn how to learn and learn how to have fun learning.
Bang on. Okay, couple questions with that, Jeremy. So you'll see your clients once a week, and then they do the workout themselves the other 4 days? Is that kind of how that works?
That's right. So I see them once a week, and we generally have 8- and 12-week programs, which if after that they want to continue, they very much can for as long as they want. So there's no like locking contract or anything. It's just we monitor your progress after 2 and 3 months, see how you're going. If you wish to continue, fantastic. The spot's yours for as long as you want. We do obviously advocate for, the longer that you commit, the greater, the more benefits. But certainly, yes, once a week's enough. And I when I was putting this all together, I thought, I don't want it to be too full on where it's 2-3 times a week. That can really, impact the interest level there. And there was nothing more boring than going to see therapists and specialists all the time. I think you can overdo something that's meant to be good.
Yeah.
So once a week, whereby, a wonderful good session, whereby you just sort of leave going, yeah, look forward to seeing that person, or I look forward to the training of that next week. I really put myself into the child's position there, putting this together, and thought, yeah, that's so important, is to make it just enough where they really are motivated and look forward to the next 7 days. And they, they feel motivated to practice outside, or at least hopefully, but they really look up to myself or any of my staff or team, and they want to come back and keep showing off the progress that they've done in that last week, or new things for that matter. Because I always say to students, look, if there's something you want to practice or show off to me next week, bring it along. I can't wait to see and, have lots of fun.
Gotcha. Okay. And then what about, say, a standard session, Jeremy? Is that an hour? Is it half an hour, 45 minutes? And then what does that session kind of look like?
Yeah, so look, we try to obviously do our sessions. For some, look, if they're having a really off day, we could only last maybe 5 or 10 minutes. But those challenging sessions, I've always made it a mission to certainly work closely with the families there to try to turn things around. And when we achieve that, it's wonderful, because it just proves that even if we go into a session and things aren't going so well, that, you know, with the right understanding and with the right connection there and the right rapport and all the right approach, you know, we can turn this around, and we can still use the remaining session to, you know, turn that mood of that child, which is wonderful when it's achieved. Mm. And obviously, if not, well, then that's okay as well. It's, well, that's all right. We'll just have to wait until next week. That's it. So, but generally 1 hour sessions, 45 minutes minimum. And what that session looks like, well, back in the day, Jono, I was very, routined and religious to coming in sort of 10, 15 minutes early and setting up everything and having, you know, the whole obstacle course or the different circuits all ready to go. So I was really tapping into the PT in me at the time. Well, that was wonderful and it worked, but sometimes I noticed over the years that there were clients that come in and I'd have all this wonderful equipment and everything set up, and then they didn't want to do any of that. They didn't want to do any of that. They couldn't be interested in doing skipping this or jogging that or, you know, anything. And I just thought, well, okay, I'm going to slightly change things, because some students really benefit when there is organization and something well prepared and planned, which is wonderful. But other students, I've got to change and adapt and realize that, well, coming into an empty studio or an empty environment, that can be a great thing as well, because we can get the creativity flowing. We can get the imagination activated. We can get the ideas shared back and forth, and we can build and design something together. And again, I think even as a PT, that's so important to do with clients, is to get them involved and to say, well, you've got a choice. Well, what would you like? A, B, or C? Exercise, you know, 1, 2, 3. What would you like? Let's do this together. Really involve the client. So, yeah, kids had lots of fun when they'd go through my bag of goodies and pull out balls this and cones that, and they want to build a magnificent castle or a wonderful structure of some sort, and then they'd share a story which I would patiently listen to and then say, well, that's wonderful, how can we incorporate this into a session, or how can we do something fun with that. So each child's just remarkably different, but I always just have that wonderful approach and connection to be able to, find what they love and make it into something that that we can both do together and stuff and have lots of fun. So no session is the same, but I'd certainly do my best to, have my assessment with all the exercises that I try to squeeze in with those with those kids or those clients. And, throughout the session, obviously, pick and choose what we want to do, and like I say, keep it as fun and entertaining as possible.
Yes, love it. I think the moral that I'm getting there is essentially one of the biggest differences between, I guess, training someone who's on the spectrum to not, is that it's got to be so adaptable, right? It's like, if you think you're going in there and it depends on the client, once again, as you said, but there's going to be some clients where if you think you're going in there and you're doing 3 sets of 10 of this or a circuit where it's a minute of that, be prepared to change it, because it might not, there's a high chance it's not going to end up exactly like that.
That's right, exactly. And look, some older clients, in their teen years or even young adult years, that do just want to do more exercise, they can be fantastic at just accepting that they want to do push-ups this and they want to lift barbells or dumbbells that. So if they just want general fitness, they can be excellent and they can follow my instructions or advice with all of that sort of thing very well, because they ultimately are looking for just a fitness-based workout. So they can be wonderful at adapting to what I've got. But I certainly always like to, challenge and mix things up and say, look, what would you like as well? Because I really want to know what activity or exercise have you got an interest in? So I've always been a big advocate in the relationship with your client first, the exercise routine second.
Gotcha. All right, Jeremy, that's pretty much all I wanted to cover. I guess my final question is, what's next for Jeremy Sampson? What's the plan for time to train?
Well, I mean, I'm currently at the moment, look, I've got my hands full with many different projects, Jono, but you know all about it. You're keeping very busy and successful in your own way, which is fantastic. Time to train's evolving at the moment. We are looking at the moment, Jono, into branching into adopting yoga sessions. I'm doing what's called a calf therapy program. So I've gone out there and I'm proud owner of a small handful of wonderful luxury Audi vehicles, which have been put to great use there to create sensory experience for children on the spectrum, or all ages, of course. But we're using cars and vehicles where they're in the back seat front and they're enjoying getting a wonderful workout where they're observing, using those eye muscles and getting a wonderful brain workout and social interaction and building confidence whilst in the car, and they're getting their favorite music to listen to, and we can stop and have a stretch or a break. And in 1 hour session, we're just having lots of fun, but it's actually a wonderful therapy workout. So car therapy. And I think that, look, there's nothing like what I'm doing, but I really think the future when it comes to therapy is going to be more mobile. So, we're seeing, and a lot of families are really warming to the idea of my car therapy program, whereby they don't have to go to a clinic to take their child for sessions. They don't have to travel anywhere. We come to them. We pick them up, and they love getting in the car, and they love getting the control of what music and temperature and all this sort of stuff, and the seats going back so they can have a bit of a nap if they need to catch up on some rest. So the time to ride program, it's really kicking off. And of course, going to be coming out in a documentary fairly soon, which will be wonderful, just to raise more awareness for autism and families that are new to the journey and getting a diagnosis and stuff. So, it's wonderful just to, have my hand in all different projects at the moment. And, as I say, working closely with the families and mums and dads, sitting down with them privately to really help them. Because they are the ones that are the keys to their child. I can only do so much, Jono, with the child's development, but when it comes to taking it to that next level, I have to find out what is going on with the parents, their behaviours, their mannerisms, their traits, their overall personality, how they are emotionally, psychologically. I have to sit down, counsel, work through, and obviously find out where are the root causes there. That could be certainly a huge impact on their child and their child's behavior. So once I get that, I can see those differences really, supporting a positive outcome for that child in ways that I couldn't before, just with working with that child. So parents, I think again that they've always been the future in helping to support and manage their loved one on the spectrum. We've got this wonderful NDIS system, which is just terrific for people who have disability and autism and all those sorts of things. But I really advocate, I really hope that one day there's a branch to, definitely supporting more families and parents as well, because they ultimately do need that support.
Yeah, well, I'll keep my eye out for that documentary. Jeremy, someone's listening to this, watching this, and they're like, okay, this guy's cool. I want to follow his journey. Where's the best place we go to follow you? Is it Facebook, Instagram, your business stuff, your personal stuff? Where's the best?
Yeah, so I'm on the Facebook. I've got the Twitter. I have the LinkedIn. So Jeremy Sampson, you can type my name or just time to train. Into Google, there's the article stories. I've been in all sorts of different platforms of media and things, so it's not hard to find me. So the journey's out there, pretty well recognized. Just time to train. That's it. You just got to put it in, and you'll find my smiley, happy face somewhere.
Awesome. All right. Well, Jeremy, that's all I wanted to get through today. Is there anything I should have asked you but forgot to? Or anything?
No, I think I think you've done well. You've covered everything. And no, look, I really appreciate you having me on your program, on your podcast, Jono. And I just hope that this strikes a chord with some families that just want to know a little bit more, that there is wonderful help and support out there. And if you are looking for something a little more different to just your typical clinical psychologist or occupational therapist, speech therapist, and all those sort of traditional approaches, time to train. We're here. And we're looking forward to working with more new families in the near future.
Awesome. All right, Jeremy, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jono. All the best, mate. Take care.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this show, share it with your friends, subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review. For show notes and free training on how to grow your fitness business, visit www.fitnesseducationonline.com.au.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort, so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes, all created by nutrition professionals, from breakfast to dinner and everything in between. We've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your client's needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, while you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.